This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks.
And we're back. Woo! Sorry for the interruption, but...
July was just too crazy
it
for
was.
Us to record.
Well,
it really was.
Your job is really on the upswing for you. You've been running nonstop since the G20.
Yep.
And I had just found gainful employment in July as well, and we were just kind of slammed trying to juggle everything and get each other to work and get life back to normal. So life is kind of back to normal now, which is good.
Which means we'll be able to go out and eat a little bit more often.
Yes, which means even better podcasts for you.
Look,
I want to thank everybody who's been listening, because oddly enough, despite the fact we only put one episode up in July, it was our best month ever by the numbers. Maybe you like us better when we don't podcast?
I don't know.
That's a strange message.
But you were saying that some of our episodes are now up to over 100 hits.
Yeah. Some of the recent episodes easily have hit 100 hits. And they jumped, like, overnight.
It was like they doubled almost.
Yeah, and it's not a Podbean error. Now, since we're both gainfully employed and life is back on track, we are going to start looking at some changes in the podcast over the next year to 2 years. One is hopefully to get an artist friend of ours to do some artwork for advertising for us.
Yeah.
We'd like to toss ourselves up on a couple cool little websites, see if we can entice some more people to experience the Spy Fat Chicks and all of our deliciousness. And also, eventually down the line, I would like to get some better recording equipment, which means we won't be recording out as often, but we're still probably going to record out once in a while.
Yeah, and then the sound quality of the episodes will probably be a little bit better.
Yes, but that's something in the next year or so. We wanted to see if we really enjoyed doing this and if we stuck with it. And since we've been doing it for a year now, really still enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's time for us to maybe, after the Christmas season, start looking for equipment upgrades now that we're both back into something resembling income again. So, for our first episode back from our little impromptu vacation, we decided to do a restaurant review. We found an awesome place over July.
The name of the place is Cyrus, and it is a Persian restaurant. It's on Ritson Road in Oshawa. Mm-hmm. It's 563.
Yeah.
Ritson Road South in Oshawa.
Mm-hmm. It's not far from the 401 ramp. The Ritson Road 401 ramp. It's
down by the Ritson McDonald's.
Yes. So if you know the Oshawa area, it's very easy to find. If you don't know the Oshawa area, it's still going to be easy to find, to be honest, because all you have to do is find the McDonald's on Ritson. This is the only McDonald's on Ritson that I'm aware of.
Yeah. So it's called a Persian restaurant, and for those that aren't in the know, anybody that classifies themselves as a Persian is from, the Iran area.
Yeah.
But historically, that's called Persia. And I can see why, given some current events and some bad elements, they want to be known as Persian, because they're really great folks and they have really great cuisine that they want to share with the world, and they don't want to be associated with that crowd.
Mm-hmm. And Sheila suggested in the future we do an episode breaking down the different types of Middle Eastern food, mostly because we still have some knowledge gaps there that we want to discuss and learn more about. And
we'll
figured
about
if we're
going
to do it, we'll learn about it together with our listeners.
Yay!
But she's right. There's so many different regional twists on food in the Middle East. Just like there's regional twists when you get to, Italian food.
Right.
You Sicilian
get,
versus
Emilia-Romagna.
Yeah.
Versus Tuscan versus...
Yeah.
Every different region has their own style of cuisine under the blanket of their cultural cuisine.
In Chinese, it's the same way. Szechuan versus Mongolian versus Cantonese versus even smaller regional differences. So...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an important thing for us to kind of explore out, especially because I have become a huge fangirl of Persian food, mostly because of this restaurant.
Right.
We've been there twice now, and Sheila said before the podcast, we have to go back and take pictures, because both times we've eaten our food so fast, we haven't gotten any pictures of what we ate. I'm like, oh,
I even
hardship.
Said after she's grabbed a handful, I'm like, wait, we have to take a picture of this, and she's like, oh, well, we'll just come back and eat it defiantly.
Okay, so Cyrus, when you show up, it looks like it used to be a house that's been converted into a restaurant. The parking lot's in the back, so you go down a narrow little driveway into a parking lot. The parking lot holds, five cars, maybe six?
Yeah.
Not a big lot. When you come up to the front, there is a nice little outdoor area to sit, like a patio, that's fenced in completely with privacy fencing, so you don't have to worry about the traffic blowing past you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go in, they have a nice little dining room area that seats maybe, 2 dozen?
Yeah,
and
probably.
And the counter's right there, and you order at the counter. It's a small place. Don't let that fool you, though, because the food is just top-notch. And the patio is so cute.
It is.
The menu runs the gamut from just some wraps that are very affordable. The wraps start around $4 and go up to actual kebab plates.
Big sit-down dinners.
Mm-hmm. To kebab plates that go up to about $16, $17. And you completely pay for what you get. The the expensive plates are huge. Yeah. They're enough almost for two people. So, our first visit, I had the falafel platter.
Because Tracy loves falafel.
Oh, I love falafel. And you had,
The name of it was, but it was a chicken, pomegranate, and walnut stew, which stirred memories of going to Khalil's and that Lebanese side dish called Madamas. That's a pomegranate walnut dip. And it was really good. The chicken was shredded and it was braised in this great sauce. And you could really taste the pomegranates and the walnuts, and you could taste the different spices. Like, I could taste cardamom in it and clove. Really, really good. And it was served
with rice.
With rice.
And that time it came with salad, but they said, oh, wait, it's not supposed to come with salad.
So next time you order it, don't expect there to be salad next to it.
Yes.
And I said, that's fine.
Yes. But, you know, it was only about, $9-$10?
Yeah.
It was a hearty serving of stew, a nice pile of their delicious, delicious basmati rice. It was great. You just were in love with it. There were little hearts coming out of her head as she's eating it.
It was like an anime.
Just mumbling as she's eating. Oh, this is so good. Oh, my God. I have to get this again. This is great. Oh, nom, 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 nom. No, the falafel plate. I love falafel. I don't even know how to describe it. It's made out of ground chickpeas.
Yeah. It's like a Middle Eastern hush puppy.
Yeah. And I love hush puppies, so it makes sense why I love them. But that's kind of trivializing it. There's more to it than that. But if you've never had one, go almost anywhere. You can get a halfway decent falafel. But the ones at Cyrus are
really, really good.
Delicious.
And they have really nice sauce that goes with it,
yes.
too.
Yes. And they pour a sauce over top of it that keep meaning to ask what it is, and I keep forgetting to find out. The falafel plate comes with just stuff. You've got a nice portion of salad. You got to pick your dressing, and they have normal salad dressings. It's nothing crazy. It comes with some hummus with it. It comes with this other gloopy stuff that, again, I should have asked at the time what it was. It's really good with the falafel, and then another pile of their basmati rice is just delicious.
I think the falafel dressing is like a yogurt-based.
I think it's a yogurt-based sauce
dressing.
Too.
Yeah, and it tastes like there's like cucumber. It might be a tzatziki, but it's not
like a
as
twist on tzatziki.
Clumpy.
Yeah. I think you're right, because I know there's a lot of yogurt kind of stuff going on with this kind of
that's
cooking.
Like the main dairy for that region. So. Mm-hmm.
So what we had that first time was really good. We said we've got to go back, because it's delicious, and maybe do an episode about it, because it's extra delicious. Our second visit back, we decided to branch out. Instead of getting stuff we know we're going to like, we got what's called the Cyrus Special. And we were each going to get one. And the girl at the front said, a lot of people split that. So we said, okay, we'll get an appetizer platter, and then we'll split the Cyrus Special. So the appetizer platter, they do small and large appetizer platters. We got the small one. This is so good, and it's such a great way to kind of just get a nice little sampling of everything.
Yeah.
It had hummus on it. Then their hummus is really good. It's not a garlicky hummus.
No, it's more a... What's the sesame stuff?
Tahini?
It's more of a tahini heavy hummus, you know, but it's good. It's really, really good.
I really like it. I really enjoy it. And then it came with this stuff. It was a
smoked eggplant
kind of deal, almost like baba ganoush, but you know how baba ganoush is gray? This stuff was like red.
I think
almost
it was
like salsa.
I think it was from paprika.
From the paprika, maybe some tomatoes in there too.
Yeah.
That is, oh.
Just heap it up on a piece of pita and
I need to get the name for it so I know what it is so I can order it whenever we go someplace else like that if we're outside of the Oshawa area. That's
right.
Probably my favorite thing on the platter. It was so good. And then it came with two falafel. It came with a nice, healthy serving of the little wedges, pita wedges.
They always give you enough pita,
yes.
Which is good.
And there's something else on it, too. The yogurt sauce.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a yogurt sauce that came with it as well. And we ended up taking the smoked eggplant stuff, putting it on the pita, and then drizzling some of the yogurt sauce on top of it. And that took it from being delicious to uber delicious with a side of little sparklies. It was so good.
It went to the next level. There was really lots involved.
And the appetizer platter was only like around $5.
Yeah.
But you got a nice healthy serving of everything.
Between the small appetizer platter and the Cyrus Special, that was a hefty meal for two people that like to eat.
Yes, and we like to eat, so we would know. Now, the Cyrus Special, this is probably the best way if you've never had any kind of Persian cooking at all. In me coming from the States, you don't see a whole lot of Middle Eastern cooking to begin with. Not like you do
usually
up here.
It's lumped in with Greek cooking, and they call it a Mediterranean restaurant, which is fine, because it's technically correct. But
it's not quite the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
So, I appreciated this, because I got to try a couple things that I'd never really seen before. But it comes with three different kebabs. And these aren't like little kebabs with pineapple and fruit and stuff on them.
This
like
is
when
just
you grill
a stick
it at home.
With meat on it.
It is. It's almost a foot long stick with meat. Say what, at least 9 inches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's probably at least an inch and a half in diameter.
Yes, like
it's like a dowel rod.
It's like
of
golf.
Meat.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of golf balls on a stick, but they're golf balls of meat. So it comes with a Kubade kebab, a chicken kebab, and a barred kebab. The Kubade, it's spelled K-O-O-B-I-D-E-H. It's like a seasoned ground meat that's formed into like almost like meatballs, but not quite meatballs, and crammed on the kebab and yeah. cooked. What did you think of it?
Oh, it was really good. I liked it a lot. I actually almost liked it better than the bar, which was the steak.
Yes.
It was like chunks of beef mm-hmm. that were on the kebab. And it was good.
Well, they
it
were
was
really good, tender
But
chunks.
I liked the way the seasoning was on the Kubade.
Yeah.
So I think that's what, like, I mean, I like them both. But what made the Kubade number one for me was the spices, I think.
And then the chicken kebab was a seasoned chicken. Also, chunks of it put on the kebab. And the seasoning almost reminded me of, like, when you get a shawarma, but not quite.
Yeah.
I can't
And a
even...
shawarma, for those that don't know, it's like a gyro, but it's chicken instead.
Yes.
It's the same type of seasonings, and it's roasted the same way, slowly,
yeah.
on that cylinder thing.
I don't know if they cram the chicken on the cylinder or not.
Yeah, because there's a picture of it.
Oh, they do?
Oh, there it is right there.
Oh, the chicken. Oh, they do cram it on the little kebab thing and slice it off. That's kind of neat. I never
yeah.
realized that.
So it's like a...
It's like a chicken gyro.
It's like a chicken gyro. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Excuse me. So the spices on the chicken kebab were very similar to what you would get on a shawarma, which is very similar to a gyro. My personal favorite also was the Kubade, was the ground meat one. I really thought my favorite was going to be the barg.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to say the barg was delicious. It was nice and tender, well-seasoned, very juicy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't greasy. None of this was greasy at all. Considering the amount of meat that was there, wasn't
well,
greasy in any way.
It's like barbecued, right?
Yeah. But,
so it allows the oils to drip out.
But the barg was... Oh, not the barg. The Kubade was just delicious.
Really good.
Oh, my God. And then the Cyrus special also comes with a nice, healthy serving of salad and then a giant portion of basmati rice that comes with it. The rice is great. And it came with like half a grilled tomato, too.
Yeah.
Or half a barbecue tomato. It was great. She, like, cut the tomato up and ate a good chunk of that.
It is awesome.
No, that one's about the most expensive thing they have on the menu, and that's just about $17. But
yeah.
for two people, or one really hungry person, it's the perfect deal.
Right.
And I think it's completely worth every penny, because you're getting, you know, like, three giant sticks of meat.
Yeah, I mean, how many...
a pound of meat on there.
I was going to say, it's probably close to 16 ounces of meat.
Yeah, it's at least 16 ounces of meat, because those kebabs were pretty heavy, I thought, so. Now, there's more to Cyrus than just kebabs.
Indeed.
They also have hookahs.
Yay!
We've been looking for a place to get a hookah for a while. Or to have a hookah, enjoy a hookah bar, and they actually have them. You have to do it outside because of the tobacco use things with Ontario, but still, pretty darn cool. The patio's a nice little place. We haven't gone yet for a hookah. I think maybe next week we'll hit that up.
So when we do a Middle Eastern episode, I say we go there and get a hookah and have some of their lovely mint tea. And,
which isn't very minty at all, but that's another story that I want to get to about Cyrus, too.
Exactly. And this will totally fit in with our discussion of the different regions of Middle Eastern cooking.
Exactly.
Because there's Turkish coffee, which they don't offer because they're not Turkish. So that totally makes
we
sense.
We asked, and she's like, no, we don't offer that.
I'm like, I figured not.
Petit du tea.
Yeah. Well, and there's also cinnamon tea. I'm not sure which region that specializes in. And then there's the mint tea, which they have. So we'll go get some mint teas, have a couple of hookahs.
Mm-hmm. And now the food at Cyrus is, like we've been saying, top-notch, delicious. It has made me definitely a fangirl for Persian cooking. Now, the service at Cyrus is what really makes the place.
Mm.
Both times we've went, it's been the same woman behind the counter. I can't even guess at her age. She looks young.
Yeah.
But she knows
she
her stuff.
She looks like she's in her early 20s.
Yes.
But I have no idea.
But she knows her stuff. Both times she's been very friendly. She's answered all of our questions very patiently. And we've asked a lot of questions because we're very curious and we want to know. She's the one who said, you know, a lot of people split the Cyrus. It's big. You know, don't
yeah.
be afraid. Go ahead. We'll bring out an extra plate for you. And that's really cool because a lot of restaurants discourage splitting like that.
Right.
But she was all for it.
Culturally speaking, it makes sense to share.
Mm-hmm. But we've put her through her paces about what comes on it. When she brought the appetizer platter out, we asked her, hey, what's this? What's this? And she explained it patiently.
Right.
And then when we went to pay the last time, we were asking about the tea and the coffee. And I think the cook and owner in the back was yelling at her, give them some to try.
Yeah.
So she said, well, do you want to try a little bit of the tea? And we said, well, yeah, sure. And they poured a little bit of tea for us. And it's kind of concentrated when it comes out of the giant urn. And they dilute it with some water.
Yeah.
Or it comes out of a pot and then there's an urn of water.
Yeah, very similar to Russian samovar tea, where they make it super, super concentrated, very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And then when they actually pour it out, you know, you get a little bit of hot water to dilute it.
Yes.
So that it's always ready, it's always there for you to drink.
And then she poured a little tea for us to try so we could see if we'd like it for the next time we come back, which I thought was really nice of them. They don't have to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it was really good customer service.
Exactly.
I'd love to actually do an interview with them.
Yes.
And ask them,
see where they're from and what the twist
what the story
the
is.
Yeah, see which ones of these are mom's recipes, which ones are dad's recipes from back when.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the kind of place you could go there for lunch. They have a nice, affordable lunch menu. You could go grab dinner. You can stay in. You can take out. You can call ahead.
Yeah.
They're open pretty late most days. They're closed on Mondays, though.
Yeah, which is pretty standard for a small business. I totally understand why they do that, because otherwise nobody would get a day off and everybody would be burned out and crispy.
And they take Visa, cash, and debit, too, so you have a lot of payment options. So anything else you wanted to add about Cyrus before we get to some of the other miscellanea we needed to tack on at the end of the episode?
I don't think so. I'm really looking forward to going back. We've already been twice, and I can't wait to go back again.
Oh, and they have a pretty takeout menu, by the way. We grabbed one the first visit, and I thought these were stock photos that came from some giant catalog of Persian food.
And then we saw the Persian food. It's actually pictures of their food.
Yeah, the Cyrus special, when you order it, looks just like the picture on the takeout menu. When I ordered the falafel plate, even like the falafels are placed in almost the same angles as what's in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So and what you said, see, you know, is what you're getting.
Well, that just goes to show how far our digital technology has come. Because remember when, even at Mr. Burger, they have pictures of... It's real pictures of their food, but it's, like, kind of washed out and sickly looking. It doesn't actually look like their food because the photography at the time couldn't really capture
the food
with the resolution to make it realistic.
Exactly. But this, when you order it, what you see on the takeout menu is what's going to come on your plate, almost arranged the exact same way. So you're not just looking at something that's going to come out looking mangled and kind of sad, like when you get a Burger King burger and it looks nothing like the menu.
Like
picture.
The commercial.
And you feel ripped off because your lettuce isn't glistening, your tomatoes aren't sparkling in the sunlight.
It's not as tall as all,
it's all smooshed
down.
And made with hatred.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. So, on to some miscellanea, because we have been kind of busy people in the past month and a half or so. Sheila, while she was at the G20, being an undercover security guard, all Serpico and stuff, she found a place that had a tandoori and did fresh tandoori naan bread. So go ahead and give us a rundown of that.
I wanted to bring home something special for Tracy, and I know that she loves naan bread.
I'm addicted to it. It's
I
like
can't remember the name of the place, but I'll post it when with the information for this episode. But it was at the corner of University and Dundas, and I walked in, and it was like a food court Indian restaurant. They had a lot of stuff out in the steam table where they'd scoop it onto the plate for you, and they had different combo dinners. But I asked him, like, hey, do you have any naan bread? And they're like, yeah, how much do you want? And I'm like, well, I just want one order. And they're like, okay, we have to make it. And I'm like, really? You make it fresh? I'm like, oh, I totally expected it to just be, like, from a bakery, you just warm it up. And they're like, no, we make it. So it'll take a couple minutes. And I'm like, it's going to be worth the wait. Go ahead. Take your time. So I watched them flatten out the dough and then take this really long, it looked like a giant boot, you know, like a button hook for Victorian boots.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those really long with a hook on the end. And they had a tandoori back there. I could see the tandoori and see the heat coming off of it like it's a belching bell rock or something.
Now describe a tandoori just in case hasn't heard of one before. We didn't discuss it in depth in the other episode with Curry Club.
Okay, a tandoori is a method of cooking fast and hot. And there was an episode of Good Eats where Alton Brown actually showed you how to build one out of a flower pot. And I'll get into that in a second. But basically, it's meant for a charcoal fire. It's a cylinder that has the fire at the bottom, and then you stick the skewers down into it and just kind of rest them on the lip of it so that they're cooking over the heat that's coming out of it. And it's concentrated because it's a tube. And then to cook the naan bread, they take the ball of dough and they slap it to the side. And it's like it fries on the side of the tandoori. It's kind of like an oven, kind of like a barbecue, all wrapped into one. The one that Alton Brown made in his garage was a really, really big flower pot. Like it would
like
be like a patio
one.
Planter. Yeah, it was terracotta. And he used a masonry bit to cut off the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then he soaked it in a brand new clean trash can filled with water overnight to really soak the clay, make sure that it was really, really hydrated.
Mm-hmm. Because the type of clay those pots are made out of, the flower pots, will absorb a heck of a lot of water.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And that's just to prevent it from cracking.
Yeah, because it's going to get, like, jet engine hot. Not quite jet engine hot, but it's going to get pretty darn
hot. So then what he did was he took it out, and did he set it up, like, in his driveway, or did he actually set it up in his barbecue?
It was on the grill. It was on his big round charcoal grill.
So, you know the chimney that you can use for natural charcoal? It's a cylinder of metal. You fill it up with the natural charcoal, and then you wad up a piece of newspaper.
Soaked in oil underneath it.
And that gets the charcoal going. And the charcoal, because it's so concentrated together and it's like a big pile of it in a tube in a small area, gets rocket engine hot. And that's what you put the tandoori made over top and cook all your stuff.
Do not touch the tandoori.
Yeah. The tandoori is wickedly hot.
Yes.
So they cooked it, and it was, how much was it? Was it two big pieces?
It was big, because you said you'd already eaten half, and you brought home almost a foot-long chunk for
me. Yeah, it was like a two-foot-long oval.
Almost, yeah.
Of this garlicky, wonderful, greasy...
Oh, it was so fresh. Yeah. She gets off the train, because she took the train in each day for this, and she said, I have something for you.
I have a surprise.
And she hands me this tinfoil-wrapped bundle, and I open it up. Man bread! Nom! It just disappeared. I ate it on the way to go get dinner, so you're going to stop and get burgers that night.
I think,
but from the ghost station to Mr. Burger, which is a very short drive, not even half a mile, I had inhaled the naan bread, just cramming it in my mouth.
I'm like, well, I did eat some. I should have gotten two orders, but...
Oh, I've never had naan bread that fresh before, so...
Neither have I. That's usually whenever you get it, it's made in a bakery somewhere and bought by the restaurant, which is perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it's fresh cooked. It's just, that's super fresh.
What's the equivalent of Mr. Burger? They get their buns made fresh from another bakery, and then they use them. It's the same thing with the naan bread, and that's perfectly fine. Like, for instance, Curry Club had us fooled. We thought they made their own naan bread.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no, we get it from a bakery around here. But their bread tastes good and fresh, but I could taste a little bit of a difference between what you brought back and what they have, just the fresh-cooked kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So delicious. So that was exciting, and I wanted Sheila to share that, because I want to go back to that place.
Yeah.
And I just want to drool over their tandoori and naan bread. And the next thing we have up on our little miscellanea here, the end of it, is I have seen the light, and I got a French press coffee maker.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably one of the most low-tech ways you can make coffee.
And the cheapest way.
One of the cheapest ways you can make coffee, and it is probably the best coffee I've ever had. I've turned into a little bit of a coffee snob in the past year or two. And I kind of wanted to try out something besides a coffee maker. One, I'm not allowed to have a coffee maker anymore because I don't drink it very often and I forget to empty the basket.
And then it gets moldy and horrible and
then
scary.
Sheila finds it a month later and I get in trouble.
After it waves at me.
Yes.
With its tentacle.
Crawling out of the little coffee basket. So I decided, hey, let's try this French press thing. I've read a lot of things online that said it's pretty good. For those who haven't seen it or aren't familiar with it, it's just a giant, or small, depending on the size you get, glass kind of carafe that has a plunger with mesh on it that fits on the top with a lid, and you push the plunger down to smush the coffee grinds down, and then you pour it out through the strainer built into the cap. That's all it is. It's about literally as low tech as you can get. You pour boiling water into it, you let it soak for 4 minutes in the coffee grinds, you smush it all down and pour it out, and you have the best coffee ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bitter. You get to actually taste some of the more subtle flavors that are in the coffee that are usually overshadowed by the bitterness because either coffee makers are dirty or they just aren't actually coming in contact with the grinds long enough or what have you.
Yeah.
One of the most important things I learned with the French press is when you use one, you must use coarse ground coffee.
Yeah.
So I had a coffee grinder anyway from way back in the day when I had an espresso addiction, and my sister got me an espresso maker and a coffee grinder for Christmas 1 year in college. That is hands down what every college student needs, by the way. It got me through my senior year of college. Oh, it's the cutest little espresso maker, though, because that was the microwave one.
Yeah.
Where it had a tight-fitting lid with a basket on the top, and you put water in the bottom, and you put the espresso on the top, and you kind of snapped it all together and whipped it in the microwave for a few minutes. And when the water boiled, it boiled up through this thing in the middle, almost like an old-school percolator, and it brewed the espresso. And when you pulled it out, you had a cup of espresso. You just took the lid off the top and threw the grinds out.
Well, it's my
really
stovetop
cool.
Espresso maker is essentially
exact
a percolator.
Yeah. Exact same thing. So, again, every college student needs one if you can find one of those, or get them a French press. It's just so good. And it has inspired me to eventually... start exploring roasting your own coffee. Mm-hmm. I've found some other naughty things online that you can do things to old popcorn makers that they never were intended to do. The ones with the vents on the side are supposed to be really good for doing small batches of your own coffee if roasting it, because they get hot enough. After a couple minutes, it'll roast the coffee to whatever your desired doneness is.
Mm-hmm.
So we found a place in Toronto that sells the green beans. The advantage of using green beans over just going to Starbucks and paying the extra cash is not only are the green beans cheaper for a better quality bean usually, but it stays fresher longer until you roast it.
Yeah, didn't you say that it's like a spice? Like you can have them up for a couple years.
Exactly.
And they're still viable.
Store them in a cool, dry place and roast them in small batches when you need them, and you can get a two-year batch.
Roasting it that releases the essential oils that make it into coffee.
Exactly.
Heavily brewed, right?
And I don't drink coffee every day usually, so for us to get like Starbucks coffee, which I know a lot of people naysay Starbucks, don't go for the dark blends in Starbucks, go for the lighter blends, like the mediums and the milds, and do them in a French press, and you get something that tastes nothing like what they serve at the stores. It's really, really good. But instead of getting a pound from there, which goes stale quickly once you crack the seal on the bag, because we don't drink it very fast, you can go get green beans and try it out. You can just roast it in a pan even. You don't even have to use
a frying pan.
Mm-hmm. You can use a frying pan. You don't have to use the popcorn popper. And if you really get into it eventually, they sell small home roasters that, it sounds like an expensive investment. They're between, I think, $200 to $300 for the entry-level small ones. But comparing that to some of the coffee makers people buy that are almost $150, $200.
And the coffee maker isn't really doing you any favors.
No.
Just get a French press and get the coffee roasting equipment.
Exactly. No, the only thing I can say is I haven't tried one of the ones that do the single cup ones, the Keurigs, are they?
Yeah.
Are they by Keurig or?
There's a couple different ones that make them now.
They come in the little cups, or you get the little tiny filters and you do a single cup at a time. I haven't tried those. I don't know if they're comparable to the French press or not. But when it comes to regular coffee makers and percolators, I can definitely say that the French press beats them hands down. So,
and we
totally
actually
check
got our French press from Starbucks. It was $20.
Yeah, it's $20.
So,
this is total steal.
I mean, you don't have to go to the super swanky department stores and shell out triple digits for a French press.
Well, even the most expensive one we saw when we were shopping around, because, well, I'm cheap, was $40 at Bath & Body.
Yeah.
No, not Bath & Body. Bed Bath & Beyond, I'm sorry, not Bath & Body, they sell scented things. Bed Bath & Beyond sells the kitchen stuff. And even that was less than your average coffee maker, because a decent coffee maker is going to start around $40, $50. You can get the cheapy ones for $20, $25, but, you know, ones that come with the timer and everything on them, they go up in price.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great deal. It doesn't have any parts that are going to wear out. It's not going to
Well, and you can get replacement parts for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, wherever they sell the Bodrums, you can get the replacement plungers and things like that if something does go on it.
You can get replacement crafts for them, too, if you break the craft on it, which is just a glass
It's
tube
just a Pyrex.
Cylinder.
Yeah.
And
it
if
looks
you
like
camp,
a beaker.
If you camp, take it with you camping. You can boil water on your campfire and just go nuts with your French press. Mm-hmm. You really can't go wrong with it. I personally, after having used my parents' percolator camping, I would much rather use a French press and boiling water. Much easier. You don't have to worry about burning or scorching anything either.
I'm surprised nobody's made a camper French press out of that granite stuff.
They probably have. We just haven't found it yet.
We should look for them.
I bet Cabela's will have it if anybody does.
Oh,
or Bass Pro.
That.
So that's about it for this episode. We're glad to be back. We have a nice lineup coming up of different episodes to do. We're finally going to review Kitchen Confidential.
Yay!
So look forward to that soon, too.
Yes. So stay tuned. We've got some great stuff coming up. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you. This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks.
We hope you enjoyed this Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.